Welcome to the Metal Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 236. As part of our business build-out interview series, our guest today on the Not Old Better Show is Ted Fisher. Ted Fisher is CEO of Ageless Innovation. And in that role, Ted is 100% focused on accelerating the growth and impact of the Joy for All brand that he and his former Hasbro toy company team recently acquired in a friendly management-led spin-out. While at Hasbro, Ted led the launch of Hasbro's Joy for All brand in 2015, the company's first product line developed specifically for older adults.
I got the chance to be an entrepreneur inside of this $5 billion amazing organization. And when we were really looking at the assets that we had to leverage, it was so far beyond just their amazing brands, which, Monopoly and Transformers and, you name it, Play-Doh is iconic, Mr. Potato Head, whatever. And I looked at, what the assets were that drove those things. So creativity and, imagination, but, in the ability to engage in a very, very unique way. The ability to make things, which I call value engineering. So creating products that sell in a toy aisle for $39 that have motors and sensors and chips. And we looked at what are the marketplaces where one, in a $5 billion company, you got to get the scale pretty quick to be relevant. And so we needed a big market opportunity. And two, a place where those type of assets might, really work well with other established, whether it's program or product, where, all the data supports it, but the engagement factor or the fun factor or the things that I felt we could intersect where those things happen. And so that was really health and wellness bubbled right to the top in terms of a place where we could, certainly there was a scale opportunity, but as we started to explore and realize some of the, the issues, we had some, some insights. Hasbro has a great, global consumer insights group, which is just this amazing body of data on, the last decades of interaction with their customers and fans and the marketplace trends. And we were looking for just anomalies where, we could find products that were being used maybe by an unintended end user or for an unintended end use. And the insight that really spawned the Joy for All brand was about a decade or so ago with a product that was intended for 4 to 8 year old girls. It was what I would call statistically relevant data. About 10 or 15% of the reviews were mom not buying it for their daughter, but buying it for an aging loved one.
That, of course, is our guest today, CEO of Ageless Innovation, Ted Fisher. Further on, Ted, you'll hear in our interview Ted's passion and high energy. And I saw Ted recently at Mary Furlong and Lori Bitter's Boomer Business Venture Summit in Berkeley, California, where Ted was a keynote speaker. On the personal side, and I love this kind of information, Ted Fisher is married to his college sweetheart, Lisa, and they spend most of their free time with their grown children in a lot of different activities, including health and fitness, which Ted claims to be a fanatic, and he'll play anything, anytime. As a matter of fact, Ted has run his 7th Boston Marathon in April 2018. You'll get a real sense as to Ted's great energy and passion for this subject as we jump right into the conversation. But please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via internet phone, Ted Fisher.
We were super excited. And so just to take it back to, how we get into this, joined Hasbro about 3.5 years ago to lead a new business group that had been formed around sort of my arrival. And the intent of this group was to leverage Hasbro's assets in new markets and new channels. So I simply define that as, not in the toy aisle at big box retail, which is where, 90%+ of Hasbro derives the revenue. And which was an unbelievable opportunity for someone who sort of fancies himself as an entrepreneur, having been part of, a handful of early stage or startups that I either founded, co-founded, or came in at an early stage to help run. And one of our first launches, we launched a product called Nerf Energy, co-branded with United Healthcare, who are focused on, childhood obesity issue, certainly in their community and state organization, which served the Medicaid population, and found that there just wasn't the outlets for these kids. And so they created great program, around helping kids be healthy and active. But, and I looked at it and said, well, all the data supports the type of things that we might do. And we had had we were very early in some innovation around, children's, activity tracker, which was tied to an app game under the Nerf brand. And one thing I knew for sure is that kids love the Nerf brand. And so if we could find a way to marry those two things. And so we sort of pulled the innovation out of a drawer, went to United Healthcare, co-branded it, and launched it in a really unique B2B way where we sold them and basically the premise was that the kids wear the activity tracker on their wrist and their activity actually powered their avatar in a video game. And so the more healthy and active they were, the more powers their avatar had, the more they could do. And so we launched that. And at the same time, we had some, some insights. Hasbro has a great, global consumer insights group, which is just this amazing body of data on, the last decades of interaction with their customers and fans and the marketplace trends. And we were looking for just anomalies where, we could find products that were being used maybe by an unintended end user or for an unintended end use. And the insight that really spawned the Joy4All brand was about a decade or so ago with a product that was intended for 4 to 8 year old girls. It was what I would call statistically relevant data. About 10 or 15% of the reviews were mom not buying it for their daughter, but buying it for an aging loved one. And as we dug into that, that seemed to be, again, something that you could build on if it was true. So we went out and literally we went to every senior center that would let us in the door. We went to assisted living, skilled nursing. We went to people's homes. We were like, who's got aging, relatives who are lonely? And we found a couple things. One, and we also had a group of seniors in our fun labs for the first time ever, which was the most amazing day. And I think crystallized this opportunity for us. And the fun lab is typically, it's a very controlled sort of environment within Hasbro. It's where we test, toys and bring kids in, glass wall and, 10 people behind with, pads trying to write down it's, microphoned, et cetera. And it's well scripted in terms of, it could just be, let's see what they, what they move to and how easy it is for them to get and those type of things, or really just really try to look at play patterns or concept, whatever it might be. We did the same thing, except we brought in a group of about 20 older adults, most of them in wheelchairs, walkers, and it was, as described by the people who actually run the fun lab, the most fun day that they've ever had. And as I'm sitting behind the glass wall, what really struck out to me was that I'd been in that room a number of times and watched the kids and play patterns, and they're always happy. It's joyful for them to to play with something new or to find some new way of playing, whatever it might be. But there was an extra sense of excitement and fun and happiness in the room the day that we brought in the older adults. And I think the way I describe it is they love the fact that someone was thinking about them in this way, which for them was so unexpected. And so added to the joy and fun that most people have when they find something to play with or have fun was this extra joy related to the fact that it was really unexpected. That it was a heightened level of happiness, if you will, or joy, because there was just this feeling like, wow, someone finally thinking about the fun me, the aspirational me, the I want to play regardless of how old I am. And that really was for my team and I. When we saw that, we said we're onto something here. And so. Fast forward a few years and I look back and certainly if you had told me you know, 4 years ago when I joined Hasbro that I would be spending, you know, more than half my time in assisted living or skilled nursing or going to conferences called the Boomer Summit or, working with this audience, I would have thought you were crazy. And honestly, as most things happen, you can't really predict the path. But I've never been more passionate or enthusiastic about anything that I've done. And I'd say the same for my team. It's a joy every day to be able to work with folks and see the happiness that our product is creating. And now really getting down to some more serious impact and some validation of that impact. Is again something that we're more than excited about.
Well, thank you for that. That story is wonderful, and I've had a chance to meet you. I've seen you speak a couple times now, and over the past 3 years, as I've gotten to know you a little bit and know the products, I think this really does speak to your insights as a leader, the research that you do, and the ability to kind of take this to market. So let's talk about taking these products to market, and maybe tell us a little bit about the Joy for All product, because as I first experienced it, I just thought this is brilliant, and the term that you use, this kind of unintended use or unintended purpose, I think is brilliant, because I think there's so often there are products that might have a relevance for my audience. Maybe they need to be modified slightly, but this one was just right on from the start. So describe it a little bit for my audience who might not be familiar with the companion pet and the Joy for All product.
Sure. So one of the things that I found very quickly as we thought about launching a new brand to a completely new audience, a new end user, a different buyer, if you will, was that naming something is really difficult. Naming a brand is difficult. And so we just kept going back to the roots of what it was. And so we settled on Joy for All because we just felt like what we were trying to create and what we had seen in sort of the research, as you said, was that, the joy that it was creating, it shouldn't, we actually trademarked the tagline, "Why should kids have all the fun?" Because it's the truth. And what you realize is just no one's focused there. And so the business opportunity, the void, the gap, if you will, of products that are fun and joyful and help with connectedness and help with meaningful interactions and connection, there's really a void of them. And so we launched the Joy for All brand. The product that we launched with was the Joy for All companion pet cat, and we were really excited about it. And the real second challenge that we faced is that, okay, where are we going to sell this? Because as I did my research and the team did theirs, there really is not an aisle in a retailer that fits this, what I would say is not even a category, And so when we would tour through retail, whether it was in big box or it was in, pharmacy or whatever it was, the aisle where most of the products are sold for this amazing population of older adults is not very aspirational. We'll just leave it at that. So a lot of necessary products, which I get, but I just don't think at retail we're thinking enough about the aspirational aspects of the older adult population. And so we decided to do an online only. We launched on joyforall.com, and we launched on Amazon, and to our great happiness and surprise, we sold out on Amazon in about little less than 48 hours, and that was sort of the beginning of the enthusiasm. And so, the products themselves are, that key insight that we I mentioned earlier around the unexpected happiness and joy. We coupled that with what we saw going on in this marketplace, which is an epidemic, if you will, of loneliness and social isolation as folks age. And we heard consistently from the people we talked with this desire for interactive companionship. And so, you know, we had seen a lot of things as we toured around and saw people had, and how people were connecting with inanimate objects. It could be stuffed animals, it could be baby dolls, whatever it might be. But most of those didn't give anything back, you know, truly give anything back. And so our idea was, let's, you know, listen to the consumer and ask them what they would like. And they told us about realism, and they told us about affordability, and they told us that cats, when they purr, they actually vibrate. You can actually feel this vibration in their body as they purr and you pet it. So we created a technology called VibraPurr, and it's one of the features we hear most about in the cat. So when it purrs, the cat has sensors and also, you know, 32 different sounds, and so when it purrs, you can actually feel that vibration in the pet. So when it sits, there's this tactile interaction that's happening. So the idea was, you do something, you get something back. But we also heard that cats never do what you want them to do when you want them to do it. And so in that, we built a random play pattern so that you may pet the cat on the back and hit the sensor that's there, and it may do nothing, or it may roll over, or it may meow, or it may purr, but it's not going to do the same thing when you expect it to do it. So those type of things, I mean, even down to things like tapered whiskers, which, you know, sounds, I remember sitting in my first meetings and talking about paw pads and tapered whiskers. And as a new guy into this industry, all I saw was the cost of the product going up. And the designer said, no, we're hearing realism. We've got to, you know, and it, thank God I was, you know, either smart enough or dumb enough to listen. But, you know, the designers were just amazing. And so we hear often about that realism. We hear how important it is. And so that was the first product. And then a year later, we followed with the Joy for All companion pet Golden Pup, which, you know, once we launched the cat, the 50% of the world that are dog people, the reviews said, yeah, I got a cat, but when's the dog coming out? And so we solved that a year later and launched with the pup. And so, you know, it's been amazing to watch the one, the media attention that we've gotten that really, I think there was a number of things that worked there. One, this big company Hasbro going into this new market was exciting. So that caught a lot of people's attention. And two, you know, I think that there's just this growing sort of enthusiasm for this population in general. And so things that are happening that are getting more attention. And you know, three, there was this crazy thing about cats on the internet, which I still don't really understand, but it's real. And so it drove some of the enthusiasm and the excitement. So, you know, the affordability piece is something that we felt was so important. And we wanted to make it feature rich. We wanted to make it realistic. We wanted to do all the things with it, but we also wanted it to be something that, you know, was, you know, affordable for all. And really, you know, the idea was to keep the price point at $100. And there's a lot of other robotic and animatronic things on the market that are thousands and thousands of dollars, which, you know, that's a one-to-many model in a lot of cases, because most people can't afford to pay for those things. And we thought there'd be benefit to, you know, this feeling of ownership, or this feeling that it was theirs, this feeling that you know, this is my cat, this is my dog. And we found that really has been true. I mean, it's a very, you know, I look at it and excited about the impact that it's had, but I also, you know, I look at it and say, part of the beauty of it is it's simple. You take it out of the box, you really don't need to read directions. It's a cat, it's a dog. You pick it up, you name it Fluffy, you pull it, you know, you pet it, you hug it. And so I think that's been part of the magic as well.
Just brilliant insights. You know, my hat's off to you and the team, because I think this idea of the vibration and the purring, the tactile element, I think that's so smart. I have also heard you talk a little bit about this notion of sensitivity to dander in caregiving facilities. And I thought that was a brilliant insight too. So talk a little bit about what you learned with regard to the subject of dander, because you probably didn't expect that you would be thinking much about dander joining Hasbro and creating Ageless Innovation either.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I think as we worked closely with, we had some local communities here that were our first initial, and one of the great parts of it is they felt like they were part of the product team. And so, you know, we'd have this regular Thursday, there's a couple of places, we had one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, and we'd go with the next iteration, the next thing. And, you know, what we saw is there's, you know, pet therapy happening at these places. There's a lot of things that, but we also found out that, you know, it was a pretty short visit in most cases. And in a lot of cases, many places don't allow, pets. And so when, I come clean with this often, but I've not been a big cat guy my whole life because I've been allergic to them my entire life. And so, when we're in the same room, there's something, one of us has to leave, you know? And so, one of the unexpected things again that we see is that, you know, we hear all the time, I was allergic to cats my whole life, but I always thought they were beautiful and, you know, always wanted them. And so, yeah, we started to put a few taglines in our messaging, you know, no litter box, just love. And, you get the cat without the dander kind of thing. So for not being, you know, something allergic, as well as, you know, we're hearing in a lot of places, and we've worked now with some of the larger memory care communities and some of the you know, they're creating a program around, you know, sort of this companion pet therapy with Joy4All. And some of the benefits are our cats and dogs will stay all day if you want them to, you know, and they don't have to go home at some point. And they don't get bored and, you know, jump off the bed or the chair or whatever it might be. And so, you know, a lot of thought, people said, well, what, you know, you should make a dog so people can go out and walk them. And, you know, we looked at it, sort of the data, and we said, you know, one of the biggest hazards we want to try and avoid is a tripping hazard. And so something that's meant to be on the floor and moving probably creates more of an issue than not. So, you know, we try to think of those things that, you know, that are not just about the pets themselves, but are about, you know, and it was really part of going and visiting our consumers where they live in their situation and understanding the challenges of being in a walker and doing those things. And so we see a lot of people with baskets and put their cat and dog right in the basket and head out to the common area or take it for a walk from their house or wherever it might be. So, you know, it's been a learning experience all the way. And I will tell you one thing that we figured out early. I think the first round of products that we made, on the cat didn't include a brush. And we quickly found that, you know, we heard all the time that people were like, well, you brush it, it looks so beautiful. So, in the next production run, we included a brush, and we found that that's another piece of the tactile interaction that people are just calming, soothing, and people love to do it. So, it's, you know, we're trying to keep listening and learning from, whether it's, you know, just lack of knowledge or mistake, we're trying to get smarter every day.
Yeah. Well, it does impress me how smart you are with this product, because I think whether it's the idea of loneliness or social isolation or dander, fall prevention, all of these things, there is a real need in my audience to experience something that's going to move us beyond some of those issues, some of those problems, and you've done that. So I have done a fair bit of research. I, of course, have seen what you've done on Amazon in terms of sales to consumers. Do you also, does the company Ageless Innovation also foresee, or maybe you even have currently, kind of a business-to-business direction where you're selling directly to businesses? And are you going so far as to create partnerships with organizations? Because I do recall seeing something about Meals on Wheels as a partnership.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. So, so early on, one of my personal, non-negotiable issues, which is why Hasbro is just such a great company, because it's the most mission driven, their mission is to create the world's best play experience, but their purpose, which they live every day, is to make the world a better place for children and their families. And so, I'm a mission-driven guy and felt like I needed to be somewhere where I could be part of something that wasn't just, you know, on its surface, a great product with a great financial result. We wanted to, we built into our business plans of a double impact bottom line, which is we not only want to do well financially, so we continue to do what we do, but we want to make sure that we're giving back in some way or having impact in a positive way on whatever audience. And this was before we knew it was going to be, the Joy for All brand. But once we had established that early on, there were a couple things that we did. So partnerships have been a key piece of our strategy right from the beginning. I felt early on that Hasbro had very little credibility in the health and wellness space on its own. Not that there weren't so many things that we were doing that could benefit or could be solving similar or same problems from a different skill set. And so I just felt like partnering was going to be the way we were going to amplify impact. And therefore looking for, like, as I described earlier with the Nerf Energy product is, we didn't educate United Healthcare on, how many minutes kids needed to be active or what the impact of, the food deserts and, eating, a carbohydrate-laden meal that, et cetera, et cetera. They knew all that. They had all the data. But I felt like they had a great programmatic foundation without the ability to engage as well as we could together and therefore amplify impact. And similarly, when we launched Joy for All, we didn't want to make assumptions about where we were going to have impact in terms of, whether it be a condition like cognitive impairment with dementia, Alzheimer's or the like. But we did know that, nutrition was real. I met Ellie, the CEO of Meals on Wheels at a conference. I thought she was one of the most inspiring, enthusiastic, engaging people I had met. And understanding that in a very high percentage of, I'll misquote it, but somewhere in the 85 to 95% range of the recipients of the 3 million meals a day in this country that they serve, the interaction they have with the deliverer is the only social interaction they have that day. And so, with Meals on Wheels, their mantra being more than just a meal, they're trying to keep people, as I'd prefer to say, as I heard Charlotte Yeh say, thriving in motion as opposed to aging in place, which she's banned that statement, but living independently and living well, that you've got to eat. And so we knew nutrition was a big part of that, but we also knew that the fact that person can only be there for so long, do the safety check, deliver the meal. How about if we, partnered up and we left the ability for a little companionship to stay? And so we partnered with them and we went around the country in major markets, about five major markets, and we delivered Joy for All companion pets with the delivery people. And so our whole team sort of fanned out across the country and we did it over a couple month period with them. And then we had an ongoing relationship.
Well, Ted Fisher, CEO and founder of Joy for All, it is just an honor to talk to you and congratulations on all the success, the research, the insights, the products. Really, I just encourage my audience to follow this, to follow you. And to do that, we're going to put up links to the Joy for All and Ageless Innovations direct to the Joy for All website where you can find out more information. There's lots of resources there. I just encourage my audience to check this out. It is a wonderful product, but it's also special. And I think that is what we hear from you, and my audience will certainly see as they go and investigate it further. But Ted Fisher, thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and we're really excited to continue this. So thank you for your support.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Ted. My thanks to our guest today, and please check out our website at notold-better.com for more information and conversation. And thanks to all of you, my wonderful audience, for your charming, encouraging, and advice-driven emails with show and topic suggestions. Please keep them coming at info@notold-better.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at notoldbetter. And you can find us on Facebook as well. We are Not Old Better there on Facebook. Podcasts of the Not Old Better Show are available on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also on Amazon's Alexa. How are you today, Alexa?
I'm doing great.
Alexa, play the Not Old Better podcast.
Getting the latest episode of the Not Old Better Show. Here it is from TuneIn.
You can always find us online at notold-better.com, where you can find all of our archives. You can share a link, you can get in touch, and I look forward to hearing from you. I'm Paul Vogelzang, and please, everyone, let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.